This is Phil Farron, and I am driving home. It's actually Friday today. had a little miscalculation yesterday. I left the recorder at home. I looked at it and thought, you need to put that in your car so that you will have it tomorrow to do the podcast. And then I promptly did not put it in my car. And I got to work and suddenly realized it's not in my car. So instead of doing this on yesterday, I'm doing it today. It shouldn't be that big of a deal, though. Anyways, because I only have like 6 people that listen to me. I'm quite surprised that I have that many. My son-in-law keeps asking me, so how many people listen? I don't know. But who knows? Who knows? You know, one of the great things about the internet and all those things in this electronic age that we live in is that, as it was said in The Social Network, the internet is written in ink. And I sort of count on that because I feel like what I'm doing for these podcasts is just putting stuff out there. And if it makes sense to you, great. You know, if it helps, great. If it doesn't, that's fine too. It'll be sitting out there for a long time. So I have no idea what's actually going to come in the future. And I certainly have no idea how long these are going to be around or be available for people to listen to. So for those of you who are listening to this 100 years in the future, it is April 8th, 2011. And if you are listening to this and it is April 8th, 2111, I say welcome. I probably will have long since shuffled off this mortal coil, but I say welcome to you, and hopefully something I say today will be of use. Okay, so it's been a good week. Just came from a lunch where I signed the contracts to sell my internet business. It was time. I probably could have ridden it for another year or two. Made possibly a little more money, possibly not. But one of the big deciders was the company I buy my internet from is actually trying to expand into my area, and I was in their way. And so since it's not a major business for me, it's just a little, you know, side business type thing, it was really just time to say, hey, take it, guys, because they're good guys, and they're trying to build a big business, and so, you know, it was time to do that. But anyway, so that had a very enjoyable lunch, and actually had a really nice pre-lunch, too. I typically, when I'm places, keep my head up and talk to people and that sort of thing. And I had walked into Panera, and I noticed there was a older gentleman sitting in the kind of little couch area there, and I was waiting for my business associate to come, and so I sat down, I smiled at him and greeted him, and I thought, wondered if I should strike up a conversation. He did have a book, and so I didn't know, and so I pulled out my phone, I was a little bit, and then he started the conversation with me, so I was like, hey, okay. It turns out he's a journalist, works for a magazine down in the Caribbean. It was very cool. We just had my business associate was actually late, and so we just had a great conversation. And it was fun. It was a lot of fun. I really enjoy talking with people. Had a great breakfast this morning with a friend. Just got talking with him about a wide variety of topics, and you know, I think I was able to help a little bit in some things he was facing. Had a great conversation on Wednesday with another friend, and it actually kind of took a turn at the end where he was supposed to be leaving, but we just kept talking, and you know, where he was really pressing me on some issues, and you know, I was answering, and you know, but he just kept pressing, which was good. And it was funny because I got in my car, and as I was driving off, I had this little thought, you know, you need to call him right now and tell him how much you do appreciate that. You know, because I really cherish having friends who will, in our exchanges, say, hold it, wait a minute, So, you know, this, that, and that, or that's really you sure, and blah, 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 is having that exchange, having someone who will challenge you and say, have you thought about this aspect of it? Have you thought about that aspect of it? Man, that is a precious, precious resource. And so as soon as I had that thought, I picked up my phone and I called him. And I said, hey, buddy. I said, listen, there are just very few people in my life who have the wherewithal who will stand up and question and who will really press me on issues that I need to be thinking about. And I said, I can't tell you how much I appreciate the fact that you do that for me. And he said, really? I said, yeah, no, I'm telling you the truth, man. He said, because I came away from that situation thinking, man, Phil must really think you're a jerk. I said, no, I do not think you're a jerk. I really treasure and cherish the fact that you will do that. So please don't stop doing that. So good conversation. Had a good conversation Tuesday morning with another friend and had a good breakfast on Saturday with some other friends. And it's been a good week. That's my good weeks, you know, when I'm able to interact with my fellow human being and have good conversations with them. So anyways, this past week, a week ago Thursday, I mentioned that I had gotten together with a buddy. His name's Charles McDonald, young man. He's lives here in Springfield, and I mentioned last week that he has an entry in the Folgers National Jingles Contest. He's in the top 10, and so we've been voting for him and spreading the word. But in the process of that conversation, he did tell me about a book that Rob Bell had written called Love Wins. And I did subsequently go out and download the book and read it because he was saying, you know, there's some controversy around the book. I thought, oh, okay, well, let's find out. And honestly, I didn't really find anything there that I thought was that controversial. And I've been chatting with my friends about it this week. It's very interesting to me. And there are several things in the book that are not that dissimilar from what I have talked about in the past. And I was going to try to refresh my brain and, you know, reread some of the stuff in the book so I could really speak to the book per se. But then in the process of that, I'd rather not necessarily speak to the book. You know, I recommend that you get the book and you actually read the book before you start commenting on the book. That's always helpful, because what you will hear people saying about the book, I don't think is really what the book says, which that often happens. People have a reaction and they really don't do their homework, and they're just sure that someone is doing this or doing that, which we're going to talk about that in just a minute. I thought what was more interesting than that really was the reaction and the way people have reacted. Some of the people that I read their reactions, they did read the book, which was good. But even the way some people read the book and the way they approach Rob Bell and what he's saying is fascinating to me. The basic idea of Love Wins can be encapsulated in a video that Rob Bell did. I don't know if he did it as an introduction to the book or exactly what, but there is, I think it's called Love Wins on YouTube, a video by Rob Bell, R-O-B, short for Robert Bell. It goes by Rob Bell. And he relates an incident in that video which is related near the beginning of the book, and that is in his church, Mars Hill Baptist Church, which is a huge church, which in Christian circles is what we use to determine whether or not a person is worth listening to or is successful. If they're pastoring a huge church, then they must know what they're talking about. Okay, little satirical humor there, but it's really not that far off the mark. Because we have this success mentality, unfortunately, in the American church. And much of it comes down to we listen to the people who are pastoring the largest churches. That's neither here nor there. Getting back to the topic that's at hand, in his video, he talked about the fact that they were having some kind of creativity festival at his church, and a lady had done this creative work. I don't know if it was a sculpture or painting or a mixed arts piece. I don't know what it was. But in that, she had included a quote from Mahatma Gandhi. And he said many people had expressed their appreciation for the art piece and for that quote. And then someone decided they needed to kind of nip this in the bud. And so they had taken a piece of paper and written on it, reality check, he's in hell. And then taped it to the art piece. And that reaction I find fascinating. And I find tones of that reaction throughout a lot of the reviews that I have read in the book, on the book. First of all, let me just say that I have read the book, and frankly, I really don't have that big of a problem with the book. To me, the book Love Wins really is focused on trying us to get us to think about this this existence, not in terms of dying. What happens when you die? What happens when you die? Where do you go when you die? What happens? Instead of thinking about it that way, but thinking about our existence as what are we going to do as we live? Not what's going to happen to us when we die, what is going to happen to us as we live? And to be focused on the fact that our lives are a moment-by-moment decision process that can every day bring us closer to God, or every day put more and more noise into our lives so that it makes it more difficult for us to hear God. And Rob Bell, in this book, does talk about this, that what we should be doing is focusing on our relationship with God. And doing what we can do, what we can do every day to learn more about His love for us. And to commit ourselves more and more every day to that love and growing in Him. And a lot of these discussions that we feel we need to have about heaven and hell may be misplaced. You know, his reaction to the person who put that piece of paper on the art piece, reality check, he's in hell, speaking of Gandhi, his reaction, Rob Bell's reaction to that, was the same as my reaction. That is, how do we know that? We don't know in Gandhi's heart what relationship he had with God. We don't know what secret relationship he might have had with Jesus. We don't know in those moments as he lay dying if God did not come to him. But we're simply assuming that Gandhi's in hell, in this case, because he didn't come out and proclaim that Jesus Christ was his Lord and Savior. And we've got this little formula, and we need everybody to go by this little formula so that we'll know that they're in the club. And you know, I have several reactions to that that I think are all bound up in the reaction that I see in this reaction to Rob Bell's book. And that is, these are the approaches that we do not want to take with people. And I'll just talk about two basic ones, because I think that's about all the time I have before I actually get home. I've said this before at the podcast, but I firmly believe that all of the suffering in the world, all of the misery, all of the pain that humans inflict on other humans can really be reduced down to three words. And that is, they aren't us. Because if you let your flesh convince you that they aren't us, then they can be degraded and deprecated and made meaningless, and they can be treated different than us. This is what Jesus was trying to get to when he said you should love your neighbor as yourself. And the guy asks him, the rich young ruler, was it the rich young ruler? Who is my neighbor? And Jesus responds with a parable that basically says the Good Samaritan is your neighbor, which was radical in Jesus' day, because the whole philosophy of the Jews with regards to the Samaritans was they aren't us. And I am extremely leery of that attitude where you see that. And whenever I see the self-appointed minions of doctrine who feel like they are the defenders of the truth, whenever I see them rear up like that, I look and I wonder, because at the base of it, they're trying to figure out who's in the club and who's not in the club. And I know where that attitude leads. So the churches that put on their website what their doctrines are. We believe that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you don't accept him as your personal savior, then you're going to go to hell and spend all eternity in eternal torment. Okay, great. Is that really the message that we want displayed on our websites? Well, it's true. They're going to go to hell. Okay, well, you don't really know that for sure. But I think the attitude that underlies all of that is we really got to figure out who's in the club and who's not in the club. Because, you know, maybe we need to go out and try to win them. And the way we're going to win them is we're going to go out and hold up a sign that says, you're going to hell and you need to get in the club. Okay, that's, see, I don't think that's going to work at all. So I'm leery, first of all, of this attitude of trying to figure out who's in the club and who's not in the club. Because I think that leads places that we don't want to go. And then second of all, I'm really leery of becoming the type of person who thwarts God's working in another person's life. Because I firmly believe that God is in the world, and that God, through Jesus Christ, has reconciled the world to himself, and he no longer counts men's sins against them. And he is working constantly, drawing people, speaking to people, trying to reach people. And I think all that needs to happen is for people to get quiet and to listen, and they'll hear his voice. And frankly, I am of the opinion, I'm getting my mail, may not be here yet because it is only 1:15 in the afternoon. Nope, not yet. Frankly, I am of the opinion that whether a person has proclaimed Jesus Christ as their Savior or not, if they will manifest kindness, gentleness, generosity, grace, mercy, those things in their lives, that practice will draw down the noise in their life and allow them to draw closer to God. And if all they manifest is anger and hatred and bitterness, it doesn't really matter whether you have proclaimed Jesus Christ as your Savior or not. That's going to cause more noise in your system, which will in turn make it harder for you to find God and hear God. I'm backing into my garage. And so the process that I want to see go on in any person's life, be it a believer or a non-believer, is for them to reduce the noise level in their life. Because this is what I hold as true. God is in the world. And God will always point people to Jesus Christ, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life. He is, he is, he is. But I'm willing to let God work with people as he sees fit in any way he sees fit, at whatever place those people are. And so I feel like my job in the world is to do what I can to bring an atmosphere of calm and mercy and grace and gentleness to every person I encounter. Because as I do that, I provide an opportunity for their hearts to calm and have grace and mercy. And I know that in the process of that, whether or not I have the opportunity to talk to them about Jesus Christ or not, as I do that, God will do his work in their life. I just have to set up the environment. Now, having that as my basic philosophy, you hopefully can figure out very quickly why I would never, in a conversation, to say to somebody, well, you know, because Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, you know, and if you don't accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you know, you're going to burn in hell forever. Okay. Do we really think that that is going to create within those individuals an atmosphere of calm and peace so that God can speak with them? Or will it simply stir up their flesh? How dare he speak to me with that? Well, at least I told him the truth. That's our... Oh, yeah. And what you did is you really just created a stumbling block for people. I'm not saying don't talk about Jesus. When people ask me, I talk to them about Jesus as the time permits, as the topic permits, I talk to them about Jesus. Absolutely, because he is wonderful. But I'm saying I think we need to be careful not to put stumbling blocks in people's way. Because isn't this what Jesus criticized the Pharisees for? You really only find one group of people that Jesus comes down hard on when he's here, and it's the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And one of the charges that he levels against them is that you have put stumbling blocks in people's paths and made it hard for them to find God. And I don't want to be involved in that. So I read Rob Bell's book. I find a lot of good stuff in there, a lot of encouraging stuff in there. Do I have all the answers now as to heaven or hell and who's going to go there, who's not going to go there, how this is all going to work out? Nope. That's God's area. I feel like I have a plan for my life. And the plan is to create an environment of success for everyone around me by bringing an environment of calm, consideration, gentleness, mercy, grace. And as I do that, I am confident God will do the rest. This is Phil Ferrand, and I have made it home.